How many general epistles?
Eight. How many gospels? Four. How many history? One. And how many prophecy? One. All in the New Testament. Tonight, we're going to be able to finish up the first 10 verses of Galatians. I cannot promise that, but we're going to work toward that direction. If you're following online or listening online or down the road, somewhere down the road, or sitting at home again, Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not by men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and the God the Father, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, and may it be tonight, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he's got his introduction sentence over, and he goes right to the key point 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, anathema. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. May the Lord raise blessing to the reading of his word. This is perhaps one of the very first books of the New Testament penned, perhaps the first, maybe after the first. By the way, who accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey? It was Paul and I love you. Barnabas. Yes, Barnabas. Barney Bus. There we go. But Paul and Barnabas. And then what happened? What happened? John Mark happened. John Mark left, and Paul and Barnabas had a very much of a falling out. And so I believe he very likely penned this book to Galatia during that time. And he gets, who does he get now to go, though? Silas. Paul and Silas go together, and they end up in Philippi in prison, etc. But this is where Galatia is. The Gauls, the northern part of Galatia, there's at least four churches mentioned. You can see them on your map there. Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia. Those are four in the Galatia, southern Galatia region. The authority is established. He is called not by men, but by God to be an apostle. That was number one. And we talked about in verse number one, how we are Trinitarian, we are not Unitarian, we are not polytheists, we are not tritheists, we are monotheists that believe in one God, three persons existing together, and working together, all of equal attributes, etc. So that was the first part, and I'm running got through those notes already, and we're up to the second part is the planning. We talked about the author's extravagance. The person, the purpose, the planning, and we're up to that verse. It's verse number 4 at the very end. It says there, from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. Question 19, when was the plan of salvation determined? Was it something that was determined on a whim? Is it something that God just, oh, I think I'll do that? No, we know from even Matthew 25, Revelation 13:8, that it was determined by God before even the foundation of the world. I'm reading Matthew 25:34 says for us here, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So even before the world was created, God knew what he was going to do. He knew that you and I would he'd give us a life, etc. He would knew what choice we'd make to receive Christ or not. That's the planning. It was not some whimful thing. God is sovereign. I like what Friel says. There's not one random molecule in all the universe. God is in control. He's the sovereign of the universe. Second, under question 20, what is the significance then, according to the will of God, our Father? Will of God and our Father. That is so vitally important because we are praying often, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus, when he was in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. And so the Father's will, you want to talk about something that's preeminent and should be in the universe. It isn't preeminent in the universe. It's what the God wants done. And that God's going to get his going to be done. It's going to be finished. And so that's so significant there to according to the will of God and our Father. The planning. And then there's the preeminence in 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Question 21. How many times in the Bible, and you have to really look hard now, how many times are we told to give glory to man? No, we're not. Not one. That's terrible grammar, but it's not any at all. God is going to receive the glory. I was thinking of Matthew 5:16 as I was studying at work today. Yes, I'm allowed to study at work today, and no one cares. As long as I do my job, and they don't really care. If I'm quiet, it makes them happier probably. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify yourself. Is that what it says? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's the idea. God is to get the glory, not you, not I. He is to get the preeminence. Question 22. In eternity, in the new heavens and earth, will all human pride be eliminated? In the new heavens and the new earth, will all human pride be eliminated? Yes. And even, why is that? In 1 Corinthians, you want to jot it down, 1:29, that in the glory that no flesh shall glory in his presence. No human being, none of us are going to say, oh, look at me, what I have done. And I just, that poor lady on the Simone, I think her first name, I think the lady that does the jumping around. Yeah, Simone. How this, you know, it's, she is like one of the best ever. And then she didn't do so well in the Olympics. Life goes on. I'm sure she had tremendous pressure, the pressure to do well. And just one little wobble would be catastrophic. In the scheme of life, our life is going to go on. And what we do for Christ is what really matters. But then it's not that as good as she's a child of God. When she gets to heaven, it's not going to be about you're like one of the most fantastic gymnasts ever to live. It's about I'm an honorary sinner, saved by your marvelous grace. And so that's what all of our, it's going to be the same old tune. Now we'll all have our different story, how Mr. Womack came to know Christ, how Cindy came to know Christ, how I came to know Christ, my wife came to know Christ. We'll have our own story, but the central figure will be Christ and his forgiveness of my sin by placing my faith and trust in him. Will there ever come a time, question 23, when we're regenerated and now perfect mankind will start giving praise to someone other than God? No. There will not. And there is a hymn in our hymn book, which, by the way, you can get online. You can actually find up the BTM hymn book. It's 515, which we have never even sung, but it's a beautiful hymn. Listen to the words of this. Oh, glory to Jesus, begotten of God, the great I am is he, creator, sustainer, but wonder of all, the Lamb of Calvary. To think that the guardian of planets and space, the shepherd of the stars, is tenderly leading the church of his love, by hands with crimson scars. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, he reigns in glory now. Someday he is coming, earth's kingdom to claim, and every knee shall bow, every knee shall bow. All glory to Jesus. That's going to be it. That's going to be our tune in various, maybe songs in various keys and various formats and various SATB, SSA, SA arrangements, STTBB arrangements. The theme is going to be the same. God gets all the glory. And so the Judaizers wanted to spoil that, all of God's glory, by adding on to salvation that you must become part of the, go back to the Mosaic law, or you must do this, you must be circumcised. And they wanted to put Christianity under the umbrella of Judaism instead of Christianity standing on its own. And so they wanted to spoil that. I tell you, we have a lot of spoilers today in the world who want to spoil God's marvelous grace. Number three, I'm a top, very, very, very bottom of page one. The acknowledged exit. We have the authority established, the author's extravagance, and we have the acknowledged exit. And there's astonishment in verse 6, the beginning. I marvel. That is a thaumazo, and it has a lot of different aspects of meanings. Question 24 is this: what are some things that you marvel at? What are some things that you marvel at? I marvel at the number of stars. When you go to planetarium, the space, outer space, I marvel at the complexity of your body and my body. What are some things that you marvel at? God's amazing grace. I marvel at Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. If you've never listened to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, if you listen to another symphony, you need to listen to that one. And it gets that fourth movement, and it has the chorus comes in, and it's joyful, joyful we are. And the complexity of that. He only wrote nine. And this is the man who had to have his piano legs cut off. He would sit on the floor and he would listen to the vibrations, never having heard it in person. And yet he composed one of the most grandiose music. Johann Sebastian Bach, I marvel, used to have to write a new choral piece every week for his choir. Every week he had to write a new choral piece. It just blows my mind. If you know anything about choral music writing, it's tedious. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of creativity. I marvel at the ocean. I marvel at God's love for you and for me. I marvel at the healing that God can bring to our bodies. I marvel that our bodies work as they do. He's saying here, the idea is surprised, astonished, amazed, shocked. One man said, the utter horror or complete disbelief. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So we find that most, question 25, most believe it was written between the first and second journeys about 49 to 50 AD is question 26. Here's the action then. We find that they are, how could they be removed? I marvel at you so soon removed. So soon removed. Adding to baptism. It's the Judaizers are coming along. We've got to do this, this, and this to be saved. It's the adding of anything. Someone was listening to a podcast on Monday. Their one definition of legalism was adding anything to the gospel. And that's a narrow definition of legalism. But adding anything to the gospel, which you must do in order to be saved. And so that would be the removing themselves from the gospel. You are so soon removed. And the idea there is it's a present tense. That means they were defecting. As he was writing, there were people in the church who were starting to defect. Now, if it had been the past tense, they would have already gone. But that's why Paul is so urgent. I've got to get this letter out because there are some in the church who are wandering away from the truth of the gospel, following the Judaizers or whoever they are, most likely Judaizers. And that's the urgency there to do that. In the Greek language, this so soon removed would be a turncoat. It was they were turning the wrong direction. They were rejecting the gospel of grace and going on to a gospel of works. Now, why do we as human beings so are inclined to a gospel of works? It's because we want to earn our way. It's like, I don't want to get a free ride. I want to earn my way. But the verse earlier, that no flesh will grow in my presence. Can you imagine the cacophony of self-centeredness? If we get to heaven and God's on the throne and just among us here, just among the Christians in Greenup County. Well, what did you do to get heaven? Well, what I did to get to heaven, you got about 5 hours. I will tell you all the things that I have done to get to heaven. And it's by God's marvelous grace, not by anything we do. So God has the best plan of all. It's by his grace. Just who are called the readers of this letter to be saved and to give their lives to the one who has called them? It's God the Father has called them. So I marvel, I'm astounded, churches of Galatia, that you're so soon have left. I marvel sometimes that people who make a profession of faith, that I remember when I was pastoring at Berea, and a lady came forward and I baptized her on Sunday night. I've never seen the lady again. This was like 20, 30, 20, 25 years ago. I remember and I was hoping, you know, and she made a profession of faith. She was baptized. Never once. And how does that work? I mean, if you truly know Christ as Savior, aren't you going to be worshiping him and serving him? If you're able, you're going to go to church somewhere. Yes, I know there's churches have difficulties and Christians seem to be able to hurt one another with great ability at times, but God doesn't change. And God, there's no disappointment in Jesus. We are to follow him. We are to serve him. And from him who called you, again, it was the Father. They were deserting grace to retreat into law. They bore the responsibility of their defections. When we stand before God, you're not going to be held accountable for me, are you? Praise the Lord, no. And I'm not going to be held accountable for you. We have got to, it's the Lord we are serving, is it not? It is. We get discouraged with ourselves. I get most discouraged with myself. You get discouraged with other Christians. You discourage other churches. You get discouraged with the pastor. It's about you walking every day in the knowledge that you have a relationship with Christ and you will be rewarded or held accountable for what you've done. they retreating from that. They were defecting from that and going back into under the law. Now, why is this phrase, the grace of Christ, so essential? Question 29, because the Judaizers are saying just the opposite. They were saying, oh no, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. And then verse 6 there, we also see then this word another. Unto the grace of Christ, which to another gospel. Now, this is the word heteros. And you, I'm going to put up here the board. I think I can fit it in there somewhere. Heteros. We're going to go with two words. H-E-T-E-R-O-S. A-L-L-O-S. There's one. And there's two. Okay? Raise that out. Maybe see it better if I take that out. Take that out. There we go. Okay. Right? Yes. We can do those verses back. There we go. Allos and heteros. The first one here. And first, another, and six is heteros, the one and seven is allos. Two different words, which we'll explain in just a moment. Now, this means in relation to quality, Strong says, one not of the same nature, form, class, kind. It's one that's different. So that's what heteros means. So it's a gospel here, so keep that in mind. Called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another. A gospel that is not like. This is the another of verse 7, which is not another. See, the 1 and 7 is allos. So here is, I couldn't find my apple in the closet. So the first is verse 6, heteros. You have would have a, if you give it, if you give, use your imagination now, apple, banana. So this is the heteros. It's a fruit, but they are completely different, especially since it's a fist. An apple and a banana. They're not alike. This is heteros. It's another fruit, but not alike. The 1 and 11, allos, is another gospel that's exactly alike. Another, just like the grace of Christ. So we keep that in mind. Verse 6, I marvel at you, so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, the heteros, which is not this. See, it's not this. It's not the same gospel. It's an apple and a banana. They're both fruit, but they're not anything alike. Another gospel in verse 7 is the allos. Now, today we have an interesting group, which you may not want to jot their names down, but it is called the Hebrew Roots Movement. Has anyone heard of the Hebrew Roots Movement? In 1994, they got their trademark. It is a group of people that want to put, it's an evangelical Christian group that puts the church back under the Mosaic Law. And it says, well, the Christianity has become so paganized that you're not worshiping right, so we must go back to the Hebrew way of doing, if you would. And one article in the USA Today said, not quite Christians, not quite Jews. There are 200,000 to 300,000 involved in this group as of, I think it's like 2013. The Answers in Genesis had an article about them. It said, they believe all believers are obligated to follow Jewish laws and practices. In a 2018 article from the Torah, they are to keep the Sabbath. Some deny Jesus' deity. Many consider Christianity pagan. And one quick definition of the Hebrew Roots Movement. Remember Judaizers, put them back under the law. Hebrew Roots Movement, put everybody back under the law. It's a very modern movement that insists that we must resurrect first century Judaism, our Jewish roots, and the milieu and lifestyle of first century Jews, and impose them on both Jewish and non-Jewish believers, that would be today. This is not just an academic study to better understand Scripture and its setting, but is rather a movement of restoration that claims that the church has moved off its Jewish foundation and must return to a more Jewish way of life to be authentic. From an article called Bewitching Believers Through the Hebrew Roots Movement from the Berean Call. That's the idea here, the Judaizers. We're going to reject the gospel of Christ, God's grace, another gospel just like that. We're going to bring in the apple of a heteros. We must follow that. It added works to grace, added legalism to God's free gift. Question 30. List a few religions that have another gospel, but one that is not like the gospel found in Scripture. So the heteros, that would be
the Hebrew and Jewish, Hebrew movements, the Jewish Israelites, the Hebrew Israelites of New York City, etc. We had some of those over in Virginia. We had a temple of Hebrew Israelites, which are African-American people who are Jewish, claim to be Jewish, etc. A gospel that is not like the gospel of Christ. We have Mormonism. We have all different types. You can put several, Islam, Hinduism, etc. Mormons even have, you know what, the rest, the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. And so we have a lot, our heterodox, it's not orthodox, it's heterodox, it's not with traditional teaching. Unitarians don't even believe that Jesus is God. And there's only one God, and the Father, and so there's a lot, there's a far more, I believe, probably unorthodox, heterodox, heretical teaching than there is, in many regards, as far as least amount of different groups, than there is the one true gospel. We find the gospel then means good tidings. After the death of Christ, the term comprises of the preaching of concerning Christ as having suffered death on the cross to procure eternal salvation for the men and the kingdom of God, but as restored to life and exalted to the right hand of God in heaven, thence to return in majesty to consummate the kingdom of God. The gospel is more than, yes, I received Christ as personal Savior when I was 6 years of age, but the gospel still is part of my life. I'm to learn about God. I'm to grow. I'm to serve. And we are to be faithful to understand. It's not like the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's your first step. Yes, that's the gospel message. You must believe, repent, and be saved. But that's just the A and B and C. We are to grow. Are we to grow? Yes, we are to grow. And it's like if we see a three-year-old acting like a three-year-old, that's normal. But we see a 60-year-old acting like a three-year-old, that shouldn't be like that, should it? And my wife says, well, just come home. Come home every night. You'll see that happen in our house. And so we are to grow and to serve the Lord. John Phillips gives us a very salient regarding this other gospel. He says, they have a Christ of the cults, but he is not our Lord Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a Christ, but he is not the Son of God. He did not rise from the dead because, according to them, his body was dissolved into gas in the tomb. Their Christ came back in 1914. He is not our Lord Jesus Christ. The Mormons have a Christ. Their Christ is a polygamist, or was a polygamist, secretly married to Mary and Martha at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. He is not our Lord Jesus Christ. The Seventh-day Adventists have a Christ, but he did not bear our sins in his own body on the tree. According to them, Satan was the scapegoat, and our sins were put on him. Their Christ is not the Lord Jesus Christ. The liberals have a Christ, but he is not virgin born. His miracles were sleights of hand. His life was only a good example. His death was the unfortunate martyrdom, and his resurrection was only a myth. That Christ is not our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Judaizers who invaded the Church of Galatia had a Christ too. But he was a Christ who was unable to save to the uttermost all of those who come unto God through him. His grace and power was not sufficient for that. He required that, in addition to his own work, the law of Moses be hung like a dead weight around the necks of all those who would aspire to any hope of heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the God of grace. He is the God of grace who saves us by grace through faith. Adversaries, then on top of page 3, was the gospel that was infiltrating the churches of the Galatia the same gospel Paul had preached? Absolutely not. It was the banana and the apple, not the same type of gospel, not another. In verse 7, then we have the not another. That is the banana to banana, allos, another of the very same kind, without changes. It was unaltered. The gospel of the heteros of the Judaizers in verse 6 was the changed gospel. The 1 and 7? No. It was the gospel preached by Paul. Question number 32. Who do you think are the sum of verse 7? Well, let's read verse 7, which is not another. The gospel they're preaching is not like the gospel Paul had preached. But there be some that trouble you. Some. I would guess that would be the Judaizers. It was interesting. It's called a restrictive adjectival participle, limited only to those people who were the troublemakers, if you would. So in our household, sorry, Greg, that would have applied to my brother, Greg, the troublemaker in the household. That would have been restrictive, adjectival, participle, Gregory Cliff right when we were younger, of course. And it was, he was a troublemaker. He wasn't. I'm just teasing. But that was, that's the idea. The sum. Those who are causing trouble. And the trouble there means to, is terasso, to agitate a thing by movement of its parts to and fro, like rolling water, like stirring water, stirring the pot. And we see this word in Acts 15, 24. It says for us here, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. Deep emotional disturbance, and refers to an unsettled mind. Now, the same word is used in let not your heart be troubled, believe in God. Herod, when he heard the news that the wise men had come from the east looking for the king of the Jews, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem. Disciples, when they saw Christ walking on the water, they were troubled. Same word here, to agitate. Now, what comes to your mind when you hear the word agitate? I have to be honest, Dorsey Reinhart comes to mind because he was a pot stirrer. He's like, he can just do things just to get people, say things to get people wound up. And my, and generally my, did you ever have a wringer washer? Did y'all have a wringer washers? My mom had a wringer washer, and it had a, put the thing through there, and it flops down, and it flops down in there. And she would have to go up and down the stairs, the basement, up and down the stairs, the basement, to get to the wringer washer. And that's, then there was the agitator. Weren't they open topped? Yeah, they were, you see, watch it, and after, now if you want to watch the agitator, you can't do it anymore because you raise the lid and it stops. Can't do it anymore. But then you can watch the agitator working. And that's the idea here. They were troubling. They were agitating. They were unsettling, if you would. It says there, verse 7, then, trouble you and would pervert. That word is, in your text there, metastrepho. I think of metamorphosis. You know what metamorphosis is, right? Change into something. To pervert means to turn around, to change, a total, to transform something into something of the opposite character, to pervert. So what they were doing was not simply going to cause them a little hiccup. It was going to cause them to go away from the gospel of grace into a gospel of works. And so they were troubling them. They were to pervert the gospel. The law does not moderately pollute grace. It reverses and destroys it. If they say, well, you're saved only by keeping all the do's and don'ts of the law, that destroys it. Let's close with the verse in Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Romans 4, 4. Or verse 3. What saith the scripture? Let's go back to 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Romans 4, 1, 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And so if you're going by works, do you have enough so far? It's like when you're playing skeet ball and you're ready to roll a ball, and you get a little ticket and you're wanting to buy this little trinket that's worth about 10 cents. I got to get a thing. I got, I'm not yet. Keep counting. Will I ever make it there? And if you're going by works, when do you know that the Islamic people don't know? Is Allah going to receive me in the paradise? Is that what I do? Don't do. Aren't you glad that Christ by grace has saved us, not of works? Because what will we do? Wow. Look at me, what I've done. What I've done. And none of us, no flesh will glory in his presence. Paul says he's marveling. You know, I wonder, I pray that he's not marveling at you and I, that we have so left what God has called us to do. I trust that we are doing what God has called us to do, and that we will continue to do that until he takes us to himself. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I just thank you tonight for this wonderful text. Challenge it is for sure. He was marveling that they were so soon removed from what he had taught. May we, Lord, be steady. May we grow in grace and knowledge of you throughout our entire spiritual journey. We give us safety to go home tonight. Bless our services coming Sunday. Meet the needs, so many needs we had to mention even earlier this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.